There were, Malka decided as the broken clock on the piano squeaked its 12 strangled chimes, two kinds of people in the world. One kind was the fighter, who contends valiantly with the troubles the world hurls at them, troubles from without. The other was the sensitive one, touched by the finger of melancholy and all the richness of poetry, whose greatest torment comes from within. Mati, she further decided, though she'd really figured this out a long time ago, belonged to the latter group. From the start, which to Malka meant his literal beginning, his babyhood, her son had been, as the expression went, his own worst enemy. The sensitive nature, so gratifying to his mother and pleasing to his good friends, had been a constant irritant to his father. Implicit in their relationship had been the unspoken impatience, the frustration. Why can't you be more like... The rest, the name, didn't matter. It was enough for Mati to know that he'd been found wanting. It wasn't, Malka mused as she stared through the front window into the heart of the storm, which, at midnight, showed no signs of abating. As though Avi didn't adore Mati. Love, there certainly was, and a certain fierce pride mixed in with the rest. Maybe it was the very strength of that feeling that made the father demand so much of his firstborn son. Mati was, in a way, Avi's second self, his heir in so much more than just the material sense. For Mati to turn his back on his father's expectations now was like yanking away from Avi's grasp something toward which he'd been straining for a long, long time. To what purpose had the father labored, after all, if not for the sake of a legacy he would leave behind? The legacy was still in the making. Malka, curled up in the big armchair, wrapped in her thick robe against the downstairs chill, thought about the years. Which will have seen the greater part of Avi's labor, or, for that matter, her own? The years behind them, or those still lying in wait? In the past lay their beginnings. She thought of their first tiny apartment. Avi, she remembered with a smile, used to call it a shoebox with a door. But how delightful a shoebox! Just a small living room and a smaller bedroom, scarcely large enough to hold the solid bedroom set that had been her parents' wedding gift to them. In fact, the bulky armoire had found its place only outside in the living room, beside the squeaky new convertible sofa and the second-hand rug that made up the sum total of that room's furnishings. As for the kitchen, well, the kitchen had been almost too small to turn around in, though that was what Malka had mostly done there in those first months, turned in circles. Not much edible food had emerged from that cozy, cluttered space, but a great deal of laughter and warmth was always to be found there. As the only spot in the apartment that contained chairs, the tiny kitchen had served as Avi's study, Malka's phoning nook, and headquarters for the many friends who drop in unexpectedly in the evenings for popcorn and conversation. There was rarely a night when someone did not crunch on the crackly white stuff underfoot or kick it rolling into a corner under the table. They knew Malka wouldn't care, and she hadn't. She'd been too busy serving up mugs of sweet hot cocoa or frosty orange juice and giggling at someone's homegrown witticism heard for the dozenth time. To their credit, at evening's end, the visitors had usually helped her clean up. Cups and plates would be dumped in the sink, and someone would stand by, chatting companionably, while Malka rinsed them. The tablecloth would be shaken out like some huge indoor flag, while someone else went for the broom. Sweeping up had been especially fun, nothing short of a rollicking popcorn hunt. How happy she'd been in those days. The happiness had followed the two of them, if in more sedate fashion, to other, larger apartments, and ultimately to this big, untidy house, which creaked and groaned like an arthritic knee and gave welcome like a comfortable old friend. It had been here that Shani and the little boys were born. There, on that bottom step, Shmuley had chipped a tooth, and Hindi had cried behind the couch when she lost her charm bracelet. Endless shrieking games of tag and hide-and-seek had been played in and around the obstacle course of this very room, and were still being played. And through it all, like a bright silver thread, ran Avi's rise to greatness. It had not happened by itself, or overnight. Avi himself had been the mover who taught and advised, who made the necessary impressions, who pulled the obligatory strings. If he was ambitious, Malka thought loyally, it was for the sake of the Torah he loved. From that first shoebox apartment to their present sprawling splendor, his talents had only grown, and his following along with it. The early timid phone calls for advice had given way to knocks on the door at all hours of the day and night. Malka, and after her the children, had grown used to seeing him closeted nearly around the clock with those who wished to learn from him or draw on his strength. Their Shabbos table had additional leaves put in to accommodate the flow of guests who came each week, attracted to the rabbi's incisive teachings and fund of homely wisdom. If they came, too, to warm themselves at the Rebbetzin's modest blaze, Malka scarcely knew it. She was too busy feeding them and listening to their stories and clucking over their troubles. When some neighbors had urged him to start a minyan of his own, Avi had responded by throwing open his own living room on Shabbos mornings. Later, the sheer demand for space had led him to the small shul. 4 blocks away, that was his rented base to this day. His congregation had grown over the years. Only a very few of the original group had left. With his installation in the shul, the rabbi's magnetism had seemed to acquire added power, and his personality gained luster. Avi's glamour, for Malka as well as for his congregants, had never faded. He was intellectual, where she was prosaic, intense, where she was matter of fact, spiritual, where she was frivolous. Avi was everything she admired, and a few things she didn't quite understand, and, without really analyzing it, she thought he made a terrific rabbi, and they, the two of them, a terrific team. The new shul building he was proposing to build was no more than he deserved.